Good morning, everybody. This is Katie Lear. I am your convention chair. Welcome to the BRLF meeting. This is our 71st FCB annual convention, and it's our fourth hybrid convention. So welcome to people on ACB. Welcome to FCB members. We have our host today, Travis, who we would like to thank very much. Joyce, who is our monitor. And John Richards is in the back of the room. He's manning our soundboard, and he will do all of the podcasts for us to listen to when our FCB convention is over. And I would just like to extend a big thanks to the ACB media team, who has worked very hard to make both of our Zoom rooms accessible. So thank you very much, you all. All right, Miss Elizabeth, I am done. It's all yours. This is Elizabeth Bowden, and she's going to present our program for BRLF.
Welcome to everyone who's attending on Zoom and who's here in the room. And also, we want to very much extend our thanks to the people at ACB Media who are helping us with this, John Richards, who will record us for posterity, and Katie Lear, who's going to be helping out in the back there with Zoom somehow. I don't quite figure it out. But okay, so welcome to the BRLF meeting. We have two things that we're going to accomplish today. First thing is our business meeting. So our secretary couldn't be here. So we're going to, I'm going to play secretary. We're going to call the roll. Okay, so we have the president, Elizabeth Bowden, I'm here. First Vice President,
Delore Gentro, I'm
here. Delore Gentro.
On Zoom, I'm here.
Second Vice President, Jerry Mullengraf, is here. Secretary Judy August is not here. Treasurer Nancy Folsom. Board members, Katie Lear, Georgia Kellogg, and Barbara Brown. Katie is here. Georgia is here. Barbara Brown is not here. Okay, she's excused. We need a motion to accept the secretary's report as mailed in the last minute, in the last email.
Elizabeth, did you mention the name of Judy August? She is here.
She is.
I am here. I'm not recording, but I was able to make it, so.
Thank you, Judy. All right. I thought you couldn't come. So
thank you.
Thanks for taking time out of your graduation day to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Really appreciate you. Okay. All right. So Georgia motioned acceptance of the last meeting minutes as distributed. Do I have a second? Nancy Folsom seconded. All opposed? There's no opposition. The motion carries. All right. The next thing is going to be the treasurer's report. Okay. We're going to get that presented by Nancy Folsom because she wasn't able to send it out.
So our beginning balance was $1,702.74. We only had one debit or withdrawal, and that was for a bank service fee of 25 cents. And so our ending balance is $1,702.49. And that is the end of my huge treasurer's report.
Okay, does anyone have questions about the treasurer's report? Okay, I'll accept a motion to accept the treasurer's report as presented.
Katie makes a motion to accept as presented.
I second it, Delore.
Delore seconds it. All opposed? Okay, the treasurer's report passes unanimously with no opposition. The next order of business is going to be the election of our three board members. And thank you. I want to thank the nominating committee for that. They were Delore Gingero, Pat Lepofsky, and Nigel Rickards. Reichards. He says it in English. All right. So I'm going to turn over the proceedings to Delore, and he's going to continue with your nominations committee report.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I'm glad to be here with everybody today, here on Zoom, however. So basically, we have three candidates. They're the incumbents. What we'll do is I'll give them their names in a minute here, and then we'll open it up for each one for any possible nominations from the floor, and then we'll go from there. The nominees that we are nominating are Barbara Brown, Georgia Kellogg, and Katie Lear. So we'll start with Barbara first. I'm opening nominations on off the floor. Are there any nominations from the floor for this? That's what first seat. Are there any nominations from the floor for this first seat? Are there any nominations from the floor from this first seat? If none, we will close nominations. Any objection to electing Barbara Brown by acclamation? Hearing none, Barbara has been elected for a 2-year term by acclamation. Candidate number 2 is Georgia Kellogg. So are there any nominations for this seat from the floor? Are there any nominations from the floor for this seat? Are there any nominations for this position from the floor?
For a third time.
Are there any other nominations from the floor for this seat? Hearing none, there are no nominations. Therefore, is everybody willing to accept by acclamation the election of Georgia Kellogg? Georgia Kellogg, therefore, has been elected by acclamation. Georgia, congratulations. She will also serve a 2-year term as well. Our third and final person, everyone knows, is Katie Lear. Are there any other nominations from the floor for this position? Are there any other nominations for this seat from the floor? Are there any other nominations for this seat from the floor? If not, any objection to accepting electing Katie by acclamation? There is none. Katie has been elected by acclamation. Again,
thank you.
I want to thank all three of you guys, folks, for running for another 2-year term. And BRLF and appreciates your service very, very much. And any other questions of the nominating committee? Hearing none, I'll turn the election back to, I'm sorry?
Okay, as far as I know, there aren't any.
Okay. Liz, I now turn the microphone back to you. Thanks a lot for letting me help you out.
All right. Let's have a big thank you to Delore for doing that.
Thank you, Delore.
I don't think I could say any nominations from the floor 3 times that fast and do it. All right. So now we are at the end of our meeting, unless we have any new business. Calling twice for any new business. No, I know you don't. I'm just making sure people get a chance. Okay. I'll need a motion to adjourn, please.
I make a motion to adjourn. This is Katie.
I second it. This is Delore.
Okay. Motion to adjourn has been made and seconded. All opposed? Okay. The motion is, the meeting is adjourned at 11:12 a.m.
Don't leave, you guys.
We're not leaving.
No.
Okay.
No.
Now we get to the fun part. Okay. So we're going to start it off. And I was supposed to look up some more stuff than I did, so we're going to do something different this time. Okay. How many people in here, and we're going to get you to clap, were Braille users from when you were small. Okay, a big clump. All right. How many people had board games when you were little? Okay. And yeah, so we're going to get on to those. Now, I'm going to talk about one first that I had, just because I didn't know until last week that I knew somebody else that had it. He remembers playing Walk the Doggie. Okay, Walk the Doggie was a Braille game, and I believe it was for learning how to read. I'm not positive, but it was a little two boards that had little squares that were marked out with little holes. There was a doghouse in the middle of the bottom of each board for your dog to rest at. And your dog had a little peg leg which fit in these little holes. You spun a spinner and it told you how many squares you could go. Or it said you had to go back some if you weren't having luck that day. The object was for you to leave home and go back home. The first dog that went home was the winner. And I played that game a lot when I was little. And I think, I don't know if that, I know I never saw a Milton Bradley game called Walk the Dog. So I think it was like an exclusive one from APH or something. Another game that I played was Matchies. Did anybody have the Matchies game? Okay, the Matchies game was alphabet boards. And there were five alphabet boards. And they had lower level, lowercase letters, uppercase letters, and I think numbers was the last. Each letter board was like half the alphabet. And the object of it was the game pieces were all letters with print and braille letters on them, and you had to match it up, you know, to the game board, and whoever got the letters first won, you know, whoever got their board filled up. Other games that you saw when you were little, we got one that's out of the box accessible, which I thought about and I found, was Tiddlywinks. Who's played that? Yay! And there was one that I played that was accessible in elementary school. All I remember about it was these bugs. And you had to put their legs and arms on. I don't remember what it was called. I think it might have been called Cooties, but I don't know. So as we got older, we saw different other games that weren't exactly accessible. Who played Hi-Ho Cheerio? Nobody? Hi-Ho Cheerio. With the cherries and the trees. Hi-Ho Cheerio was a game that it was four people could play. You had four cherry trees. And you had four buckets. And each cherry tree held 10 cherries. So you'd start out with, I believe, all your cherries on your tree. And then you'd spin the spinner and it would tell you, you know, take off four cherries. Whoever had their bucket full first won. And so that one, we didn't adapt it, but a lot of us played it in our neighborhood. And of course, I was the only one that was blind, so they just read, you know, the selections on the board. So as we got bigger, there was other games, card games, rail cards.
Can I interject, please?
Sure.
My name is Joanne Zucker. Not only being legally blind, I'm a teacher for the blind and visually impaired. In the game you just mentioned, I taught my students who were blind how to play.
Which one?
The cherry one.
Hi-Ho Cheerio?
Yes.
Cool. How did you do? Did you braille the spinner board?
Yes.
Cool. Was it big enough to hold all of the?
You had to innovate a little.
Yeah, you probably had to short some of the words.
Correct.
Like, you know, take two, and it really says take two out of your bucket or something like that. You could always make a cheat sheet that says, you know, take two means take two out of your bucket.
Yes.
I think it was real creative. Like one of them said, the birds ate three of your cherries, you know, or something. But okay, so moving right along. Okay, so Nancy has a game that she played.
Okay, so it was called Touch Ringo. And what it was a, like a raised alphabet. They were like they were like little bumps, you know, with the alphabet letters, lowercase letters on them. And you would spin the wheel. And if it landed on a letter, then you put the ring around, you put it like a ring, like a shower curtain ring around it. So whenever, excuse me, whenever you, the object of the game was to spell the word Ringo. And then whenever, whoever got it first, or, you know, go in a line, straight line, I guess, because he didn't have to spell Ringo necessarily. Yeah, but you'd go in a straight line, and whoever got that first won the game. And I thought that was pretty cool. So it was a Braille game. Yes. No, I don't remember where I got it. I was a little girl then. I don't remember where it came from, but it was fun. I used to enjoy it.
Okay. Any other sort of unusual Braille games? Childhood type before we move on to the other ones. Anybody on Zoom had any? Raise your hand. Nancy has another one. She must have played a lot.
This one was called Hungry Henry, and it really it wasn't Braille necessarily, but it taught dexterity. And what you had this bird, and he was like a rocking bird. He was on a pedestal, and he would rock. And the object was you had to put food in his mouth without him spitting it back out at you. And so the object was to try to see how many of the pieces you could get in there. And whoever got the most pieces in there would win the game. Some of them were heavy. Like there was a clock, and it was real heavy. And then there was a fish, which wasn't very heavy. And that was fun. And it taught, you know, how to have dexterity with your hands and be able to put the food in his mouth without making him, you know, rock and spit the food back out.
Now we had one that wasn't, you know, didn't need anything. It was, you know, the tower that you have to build. It had like these square platforms with posts, and you had to put, you'd start out with the post and a platform. You went up 10 levels. So every time it was your turn, you had to place those posts, or if you were really lucky and the four posts were put up on there, then you had to put the platform on it, and you couldn't touch it the wrong way. If you made it fall down, you lost. And then, you know, all your friends didn't like you after that. The crowning thing was you had to put a bell up at the top, and whoever got the bell up there and made it ring, you know, that was the goal of the game. We played that until we wore it out. Some other games that I remember that were sort of accessible was, who remembers playing the electronic battleship? Yeah, that was kind of, I mean, we couldn't do the red and blue thingies to tell where our persons were on the other side, but we could, you know, we knew how to tell which row and stuff their ships were going to be on to get them. And we always used to do stuff like put ones at right angles to each other in the middle, so the other person would think they'd got a four person when they'd really got a two person and one of the big five boats in the middle. So that was some. Now, after that, we started getting into, my mom looked for games. Of course, she never found some of them like Nancy had, but we had cards. She made decks of cards for me for a while, and then we bought them. Monopoly, Scrabble, and now I heard, I don't know because I've never played it, that cribbage is accessible. Okay, just buying it, you know, doesn't need to be modified. Cool. I played backgammon. I have a Braille backgammon thing. And the only thing that's different is instead of all the little tokens being the same shape, some are, one is round and one is square. And then you have the, of course, Braille dice that go with it. And of course, we had Monopoly. We had, oh, what are the cards that have the different colors? Uno cards. And Skip Bo. Yeah, somebody was talking about that. Okay, so does anybody have any other games before we go to the where you can get them? No, we covered games. Okay. Yeah, we a lot of people have those.
There are we're gonna I guess talk about sources, but
yeah,
there are a number of British games that are different.
Oh,
with regard to cribbage, there are some specially adapted boards that just make it easier to move. Any board will actually do, but the adapted boards have little, you know, the stuff that you see on that holds shoelaces in shoes.
Oh, good.
They have those little things on the board so you can count the number of spaces that you're supposed to move on the board more easily if you buy the adapted boards. But an ordinary cribbage board is actually fine. It works, and it works fine, and it's a great game. Nine Men's Morris is a British game that's really quite a lot of fun. It's a board game that's played with men and with dice, but a little different than some of the games that are available. There's also, of course, Parcheesi, which is available in an accessible version. And nobody has so far talked about chess, which is certainly available. There are some sources, and I suspect you guys will talk about all of them. But if you don't, I'll come back and talk about probably the best source for board games anywhere.
Go ahead, do that one first.
Okay, it's a really cool source in that what they do is they encourage you to actually buy the print version of the game, and what they sell are kits to adapt the game to make the games accessible. And the name of the outfit, and it is available on the web, is 64 Ounce Games.
I saw that.
And they have, probably 100 different games that they've adapted, including things like Sorry and Clue. And even some games like Katana, which are advanced strategy games, as well as a bunch of games intended to help learn Braille and some other stuff. It is a resource that's well worth taking a look at. And I'll shut up now.
How about the learning Braille games? Are they reasonably priced?
They are. Most of their stuff is like $15 or $20. It's not.
That's not bad.
It none of their stuff is really very expensive. In looking at the web, I noticed there's a skateboard game, but I've not from there. But there is a skateboard game which I've not seen.
I haven't seen that. I've seen where
Google Braille board games, it'll come up.
Yeah, something like a Braille skateboard team, which I haven't. That was weird. But apparently it was all the rage for a while, and then somebody had a fight, and now they're unavailable, or, you know, not doing it anymore. And the next one was Janine, I think.
Hey, guys. Hi, Zoomers. Hi, people in the room. So for me, the best thing I did to learn Braille, for me, basic Braille, is there's a thing called Plan Toys, PlanToys, and you can purchase it on Amazon or I forgot the name of the blind company, MaxiAids. Okay.
Oh.
And what they are is they're letters. So one side has a capital A, and on the other side, it's a little a, and you can feel the, because I was sighted and then I'm not now. So you feel the letter, because I recognize letters better than Braille, and you go down and you can feel the dots, and they're raised dots and they're like dominoes. So I had those to learn Braille, but we played it as a game. We kind of played it like Scrabble. So you would draw these tiles and then spell a word with what you drew, with because not looking
what
at
you
them.
Had.
And my family wore blindfolds. So
oh.
They're very sweet. My sexy and Dan did that for me and my friends. They would come over and play with me, and we bought multiple sets. So there would be multiple letters of the same thing, and we'd dump them all together. So that's one thing. Also for cards, card games, like my favorite card game is Hamsterback. And I also love Gershank. And these are German games. And now one sold to Sweden. So anyway, so you can get card sleeves and you can Braille the card sleeves. So you can feel the Braille on them, or you could put a QR code in, which Dan does for me. And there's this little machine that you can hold it up to, and you could wear a headphone and it'll read the card when you put the QR in it. There's a board game company that's coming out with that device called Quick Simple Fun Games that will help. So you can use QR codes and listen if you're not good at Braille, if you have neuropathy in your hand. And yes, 64-ounce games is a great resource. I just found if you buy the game, because I'm a big gamer, I own 1,200 games. I work in that industry. I plan conventions. But their game, like Settlers of Catan, the base game costs like $60 to $75. And then on their website for the upgrade, it's $150. So it's really pricey for those things. Like even a card game like Exploding Kittens, the upgrade of that is $30 and the game costs $20. So it's.
Yeah, but still, you don't have to do all the work and they know how to do it.
Yeah, that's true. But if you have friends, you could use your slate and stylus.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What's a Braille? The numerator thingy. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's my tips for games. Like.
Okay, cool.
Braille card sleeves.
Yeah.
And plan toys is great.
Or you can make, you could make the, like a trivia thing on 5x7 cards and have a notebook or something and draw numbers.
Can buy different shapes. Like I have foam shapes. Like I have triangles and squares and circles.
Yeah.
And then you have those for gems and for money.
That's true, but the thing is to get Braille ones. Okay, so where can you buy Braille games?
That's the next section
of a program. That's the next one. Okay, so we already know about the 64-ounce games, and before I looked into it, I thought it was some kind of thing on, drinking beer. But,
when you're ready, we do have one hand in Zoom.
Okay, go ahead, Zoom.
It's Deborah, Deborah Kendrick.
I wanted to ask Paul about the 64-ounce, the 64-ounce folks. That's one question, because I did an article on them a long time ago, and they sent me one game for free, and I wound up throwing it away because I couldn't. I'm a game fanatic, but the deal, it took like all this assembly. There were these cards and all these little sleeves. And then to play, you had to use your iPhone to read the cards. And I thought, that doesn't sound like fun. It sounds like too much work. So I want to know if you've actually played one of their games. And then the other thing is, I just wanted to say that the only place I know where you can buy a lot of the board games anymore is NFB. And if there are other sources, I'd like to know, because Paul mentioned Parcheesi, and I have never seen an adapted Parcheesi game. So where else and
is that on,
experience with 64-ounce?
You don't have to use the iPhone if you're comfortable using Braille. They include the iPhone because they use QR codes. And so for the most part with 64 ounce gains, unless you need or want the QR codes, you don't have to have them or okay. use them. And I have bought several and they actually work pretty well. We're going to talk about some other places where you can get them, get games. And I'm sure that the other one that I think is the second best one, will come up. So we,
cool.
I'm,
yeah, and Parcheesi, you mentioned it. Do you know where you can get it?
It was available. I don't know if it still is from, I think I bought mine from Independent Living Aids a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Independent Living Aids has a lot of games.
Right. But they don't have the most. The most games are in Braille Superstore.
Yep. That's where I was going next.
Oh, okay.
The Braille Superstore has a lot of games, probably followed by Maxi Aids. I usually don't buy things from Maxi Aids.
Is Independent Living Aid still available?
Yes. And they have some games. Also, NFB has them. LSNS has them. But mostly the Braille Bookstore. I always look there first, and then I go after that.
What was it?
I just asked, what are the price points between the different places you're mentioning? Which one is the lowest and highest? And you can also buy Uno and Skippo Braille at Target.
Yes.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And of course, Amazon has a lot of it, but I think they get it from Maxi Aids or some other place, you know, that sells it first. I don't know what the prices are whenever I buy something like that that's brailled or that I want to, you know, research. I just go to the different places where I know I want to shop and write down the prices and then go back and buy the one I want. Because I think it depends on the time, you know, and whether they have any in and all that. Because, you know, sometimes people will have them and they'll be out of stock. Also, APH has games still. So you can Google Braille games and a whole bunch of stuff will come up.
Can I ask another question? Was that Janine who was talking about Plan Toys? This is Deborah.
Yes, it was her.
Okay. How expensive? Because I really enjoy teaching Braille to my grandchildren, and I have various things, you know, that I've used, you know, one of those pegboards that has 10 cells on it and you know, use alphabet cards in Braille slate and stylus and stuff. But those Plan Toys sounded fun for kids, but are they expensive?
Okay, so there's two sets of Plan Toys. One is the letters and one is the numbers. So the numbers $20 and the letters are $40, but they're very, very sturdy. And if you're lucky, you can get them on sale for $30, sometimes on Amazon, but they sell out. Either you get them on Maxi Aids or Amazon. And why aren't you here, Miss Deborah? I miss you.
Because my daughter had a baby, and I'm in Cincinnati, but now I'm done seeing the baby, so I wish I was there.
You're on a plane. There's still time. I miss you.
Thank you.
There you
Thank
go.
You. I do wish I were there.
Also, you can go and get the play school letters that are Braille. They have them at Target.
To get what with letters?
Plastic letters.
Oh.
Fisher Price, one of them. They're and got by a metal board.
Yeah.
But you can feel those dots very well if you have neuropathy. I bought mine from NFB when I went. I'm throwing myself. Okay, I was at leadership and I felt I should go to Maryland to see the Jurgen Institute and go shopping because then I could fix things.
Wow.
So yeah, I went and I got this magnetic board with letters and dominoes. I bought both and they have really nice because I need like hard dots. I can't have standard Braille. I need jumbo Braille and I need the hard dots. So I have this magnetic board that I use magnetic letters with Braille and you could keep them on your fridge and they're very strong. I did buy the plasticky ones, but I can't, the braille so fused together that I can't feel it.
The NFB braille store has the best letters.
Yeah, they're very nice.
They're really expensive though.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
National Braille Press used to have them too, a puzzle 60. Version.
60 for the metal and the letters. And then the dominoes were 25 because they had smaller and they're like plastic and foam and you push it out and it sticks on the metal board that you could stick on your fridge or your computer or your file cabinet. So yeah, there you go. Those are great letters as
APH
well.
Has a real nice domino thing and they're made of, I don't know what you'd call it. It's heavy.
So when it's are like we going to have a powwow to play all these games together? That's what we should do. It should be.
Maybe you have a comment on the floor.
Hello, this is Joanne Zucker again. I just want to let you know this isn't a game, but it's a toy. It's like Matchbox cars. You can get them at Dollar General occasionally that have Braille on the bottom of the carriage and on the back end if it's like a race car with a number on it.
The car?
Even the package is Braille.
No.
Who makes them?
Matchbox.
I think we should talk about Braille dice because there are piles of dice games that are out there that people can play, and a lot of them you can look at online because there are loads of online dice games in places like Dice World, but you don't actually have to play on Dice World. You can buy dice, and they're typically not expensive, like $7.50 for a couple of dice and a cup, and if you buy several, then you'll have enough to play Yahtzee and that kind of stuff. And it's very cool where you need five dice. The other thing I was going to mention in terms of Braille stuff is the new Braille Lego stuff, which is very cool. The other thing I was going to say is Braille on Demand is now available. So one of the things that folks can do immediately is call NLS and tell them you want a copy of Hoyle's book on card games, which is in four volumes and has virtually every card game there ever was. So everybody should go order it right now.
Good idea.
Also, actually, those go from NLS and Mary, so you're safe. The other thing is you can get bingo cards from a lot of the places that we mentioned. I believe the NFB store has the bingo cards and also Independent Living Aids. And I know Maxi Aids has it. And the Braille Superstore has everything Braille. I go to there first whenever I have to get anything. They also have, mine deteriorated, but it was the board that you can put the numbers out on so you see how many you called. You know, it's the one for the person who calls the numbers. I did too, but my board rotted. So, it had it ever since I was like 12, and so the backing fell off first, and then it sort of melted. So, I still have the numbers, so I just, you have like five rows and put them in there. Also, who remembers playing that game? It was, you get nine squares and numbers 1 through 9 and everywhere has to add up to 15. Is that what that is? They never told us what it was.
Another couple of games, number games, are Rummikub and Sudoku.
Okay.
What was the first one? Rum.
The game is called Rummikub.
Can you describe it?
It's been a while. It involves number tiles, and I think you pick certain number of tiles, and then it's kind of like Rummy, where you got to get a certain number in a row. It's been a while. My son, or my boys and I used to play it when they were little, but they're now in their upper 20s, so it's been a while.
the other one that you don't have to make accessible or anything is that one they have at Cracker Barrel with the triangle and the IQ test game. Of course, I went down below the lowest percentile when I tried it, but it has 15 positions and you get 14 pegs and it's in a triangle. So there's like one, then the next row's two, then the next row's three. I think it goes all the way up to five in a row. And the object is to get all of them gone except for one. And if you do that, then you're in the genius level. I never made it to the genius level. I don't think I ever made it to. You did. Nancy said she did. And
Paul said he did too.
Paul did too. Well, Mary did. All right, Mary. Okay.
But were you able to repeat it?
That's the thing. Could you do it again? Nancy could do it again. And Janine could do it again. Paul didn't want to do it again. All right. Okay, do we have anything else that we want to... but this has been kind of fun. Does anybody else have anything they want to contribute? Okay.
All right, Paul.
There are a lot of Braille board games that actually have accessible versions that can be played online. And I think it's important that we recognize that they're there. Because yes. even though they aren't any longer Braille board games, they do give us access to board games. And there are a bunch that are accessible. There aren't, that I know about, good places to find out which versions of games are accessible.
I know.
But generally, what you can do is you can download them for darn near nothing. You know, there are two games or two game systems that are available for playing online interactively with other people around the world that are accessible. And so, I mean, the point that I'm really trying to make is there is no excuse for anybody in this room not playing as many games as they want to play as easily as they can without even ordering a Braille one, because there are just
they're everywhere.
Huge number online that are accessible and that can be played. And that many that have actually been developed specifically for folks who are blind. So, yeah.
Yeah, there was a guy that made a lot of, they weren't necessarily board games, but the Jim Kitchens board games. Yeah, he did. He made a bunch.
So there was a game designed 2 years ago called Nyctophobia, and it was designed just for blind people. And everyone that's playing it has to wear a blindfold. So one person doesn't wear the blindfold. They're like the one watching, and you have to feel and talk to each other. You kind of have to find the vampire, and it's a nighttime game. Get it? Nyctophobia. So that was made, and you can buy that in Target. Also, you can go to bgg.com, boardgamegeek.com, and put in the search bar Braille games or Braille games that are Brailled. And there's a section that'll come up, and you can click on those. Also, if you go to dicetower.com, you might find some there. But the owner of that website, Tom Vassell, when I've talked to him personally at game conventions, I'm like, okay, Tom, tell me the best blind game. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, so your challenge is to find it and tell me the next time I see you. So I'm going to be seeing him very soon. So hopefully he will have the best blind game. So the board yes. game designers in the world in Germany and Sweden and Australia and all those, there's big board game conventions, and I've talked to them about making their games accessible and how can they do it. And there are some that are working on it. Like there's a local company here in Tampa that wants to help us. And they were supposed to come and support this convention, but something happened. They were going to be a sponsor. Hopefully it'll work out for national, but I work with them and I plan Escape Winter Con. So the Escape Winter Convention that happens in February every year. And we have been working to try to make the Euro Strategy Games accessible and railed. So you can get 3D models of things. A lot of people have those plastic printers. Like it, for our convention, we have maps of the hotel that you can feel that there's a that are the plastic thingies. You guys know what I'm talking about. So anyway, BoardGameGeek.com and DiceTower.com is a place you can shop for them. And get a list.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Janine. Anything else? Okay. Well, we're done because I'm tired. No, I'm not. If we want to go
questions on Zoom.
Any hands on Zoom?
Nope, you're clear.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Again, thank you to ACB Media, Katie. Thanks to our mic rover, Mark. And thanks to all of you who have come. If anybody wants to get tickets, we still have CRP tickets. You can go and get some tickets from Leslie. Then you find out how to pay. You give money to Nancy, or you can pay our PayPal account, which is paybrlf@gmail.com. Then you let us know you bought the tickets. Give the stubs to Leslie. Make sure they're filled out and put them in her barrel. Does anybody have anything else before we close?
Mary Tyson wants some tickets, Nancy.
Okay. You can get CRP tickets from Leslie. Just make sure that you pay Nancy or send the money to our PayBRLF account. I do have some tickets, and I'll be happy to go get them. But it really doesn't matter where you get the tickets from. Thanks again, everybody, for attending. We hope you have a successful and wonderful rest of convention. And thank you for having me. Oh, the Drat Wagon will be available 12 to 6 today and tomorrow. The Drat Wagon will be...
I don't know what the Drat Wagon is, but we're having a One Blood blood drive. They're desperate for blood in Florida. Very, very desperate. Please, please donate if you're here or if you're coming here. You get a $20 gift card and a t-shirt, and we have snacks and we have other prizes. If you donate, you get a raffle ticket to win this huge basket of stuff. Yeah, please, please, please donate today and tomorrow, 12 to 6. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's a wrap. We'll see y'all on other things. Thank you very much for attending.